Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last month, when we had our elders meeting, I presented them with a dilemma. I said, we have two things that we are celebrating on Sunday, Memorial Day and Pentecost. What should I do? And they helpfully said, put them together. They have quite a bit of faith in me, and I appreciate that so much. So I will put them together by telling you a soldier's story that has a lot to do with Pentecost. And the soldier was my brother, Steve. Now, I come from five kids. Steve is the middle child, and I'm next in line after him. He's the third child born. And Stevie and my father were very much alike, which means they fought all the time. Once Steve hit his teenage years, they butted heads on everything. Whatever Dad said, Steve would take the opposite side and vice versa. Two delightful people, but not when they were in each other's presence. The only peace we had in the house was during dinner time, because my mother imposed martial law and said, we will have nice conversations at the dinner table. This went on. Steve was very rebellious, and as soon as he could, he dropped out of school and joined the military. Of all the branches, Steve chose the Marines because they had the coolest uniforms. And Steve was inducted into the Marines at the height of the Vietnam War, which meant that he was sent to Vietnam and he was put on the front lines. If any of you remember the Tet Offensive, my brother was on the front lines at the Tet Offensive. That young man saw more terrible things that no human being should see. And he wrote about them. He would send us letters, and they were terrible. When he came home, he was a broken, angry man. Now, you have to remember something about that time. When soldiers came home, there were no parades. Vietnam was a very unpopular war, and the soldiers became the poster children of this war. So there were no parades for them. No one said, thank you for your service. No, in fact, if you wore a uniform and they knew you came from Vietnam, you would be yelled at or spit upon rather than honored. So he came home a broken young man, angry at the world. He didn't have a place to stay, so he came back home to us. And my parents insisted that he find work, so being a high school dropout, he would just go from job to job. But Stevie was quite bright, and he was entrepreneurial. And since he had developed a drug problem, he decided that the way to finance that was to sell drugs himself. And my parents found out. Now, my parents were very loving people, but they did something that I want to tell you all about is okay to do. They said, you have 24 hours to leave this house. And he said, but I'll be on the street. They said, that's all right. You are not doing that kind of destructive behavior under our roof. And so here Stevie was at rock bottom. He knew that he'd have to pack up and leave because of his life. And he went to a very special place. It was not a church. You remember at that time, too, in the 60s, that people were leaving the churches in droves, especially young people. And the Moravian church that was in our neighborhood decided that since most people would not come to the church, young people, that they would form a coffee house, because that was all the rage at that time, having a coffee house. So they went to a housing project, and they rented an apartment and turned it into a coffee house. And Steve knew about this coffee house, so he went into the coffee house and saw a lot of young people that he had been raised with in the neighborhood, and he said to them, I'm in trouble. And so they prayed with him, and they spoke to him, and they urged him to turn his life over to Jesus, that Jesus could make a difference in his life. Steve came home that evening in tears and said to my parents, "I know who Jesus is now, and I've turned my life over to him, and I'm going to make a change." And Dad's response was, "Yeah, right." My mother was a little better, but she said, "We're watching. Okay, you can stay, but if this is a hoax, we'll figure it out really quickly." That was 40 years ago. Now, the day after that confession of faith, Stevie was still a dropout in a dead-end job. Nothing had changed in his life, but everything had changed. 40 years have gone by. My brother has been married for 39 of those 40 years. My brother raised two beautiful young girls who never saw one of his report cards and became college graduates, loved the Lord their God with all their heart and soul and mind, married Christian men, are now raising their children in the faith. Stevie is a college graduate and retired from a job and now tends grounds and takes care of his grandchildren. You see, that's what Pentecost is all about. It's about transforming from the inside out. It's not about changing circumstances. The day that the Holy Spirit came to those people, the day of Pentecost, those people were frightened. They were hounded by Rome. They were hounded by the religious leaders of the time. They were unpopular. They were fishermen. They had no educational experience. They didn't have public speaking experience. But God transformed their lives. When I think of the wind and the flames, that was just an attention getter. The real work was what happened within their lives. And the challenge for us today is to ask for the same kind of transformational power. And I know that God will give it to us because he promised that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. All who throw themselves on the mercy of Christ will be saved. All who say, "I can't do it myself," will be given the Spirit of Almighty God to effect the changes that are needed. It doesn't happen overnight. But I know my brother could not change himself. I know he could not shake that habit by himself. But because of the power of the Holy Spirit, he's as square as they come today. And the most wonderful part of the story is that he and Daddy became best of friends. And they used to sit on the back porch for hours and talk. And at my father's funeral, Stevie told us stories that none of us knew. That's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Unlike popular contemporary church today that says we can harness that power, we have no control over the power of the Holy Spirit. But we know that if we pray, and if we ask God to change us, that he will. Some of you might feel that you're like the people in Ezekiel's time. Our hope is dried up. And I have news for you. Ezekiel said to his people, "God is not finished with us yet." The Spirit of God said to the people on the day of Pentecost, "I'm not finished." And in the 21st century, God is not finished with you yet. Now, tomorrow you'll have a wonderful day and then have to get back to work or family or all the things that we put in suspension when we have a holiday. And you'll say, "But life hasn't changed." But if we pray, God will change us so we can change our lives and the lives of those around us. Let us pray for the Almighty Spirit of God to transform not only my life, but the lives of people that I meet. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for that life-giving Spirit I thank you for the spirit that brought each one here today. And I ask for that one who has felt so dried up and at odds with life. Would you please speak to that one that you are not finished? We thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and turn with me to hymn number 618, O Christians, Haste.